Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and today, everything's all right. We're singing that river lullaby and playing with the big boys through heaven's eyes. I mean, everyone's got heaven on their minds. Also, Judas's death. I mean, this Jesus... this Jesus must die, or is it John Tucker must die? Oh, poor Jerusalem.
I love that movie. Good job.
Thank you. Do whatever you want with that Last Supper, the arrest, or Pilate's dream, because I know that Peter and John 1941 are both in denial for the blood money. I only want to say that I will get there, but only when you believe. Try it and see. Joining us today are the usual poor...
Did you throw in a song from... Prince of Egypt?
Yeah, some at the beginning, too.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. But joining us today are the usual poor, poor pharaohs, including Kevin, I don't know how to love him, just kidding, superstar, Jager.
Best moniker ever.
Kimberly, our game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Hello. And today
And today we've got a split episode. Later you'll hear the three of us discussing NBC's Jesus Christ Superstar live event.
Ooh.
But for you didn't know that, Kevin.
I didn't. You told me.
I'm so excited.
But for this first part, we're at the home of the Plofskys for Passover Seder.
Yeah,
so
we are.
Our guest is a New Jersey lawyer, theater goer, and hopefully a dedicated listener of the show.
This will be episode one.
Let's give a big Broadway welcome to Dad of the Show.
Dad of the Show.
Steve Plofsky.
Yay!
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. You can follow him on social media nowhere. If you're on LinkedIn, maybe.
Are you on LinkedIn?
Yeah, but it actually has to be corrected, but I am on LinkedIn.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean it has to be corrected?
It still has my office address before my present position.
Oh. Yeah, I should update that. But I guess. But let's start with, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
What are we drinking?
I'm drinking a little Manischewitz as it is Passover.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Concord grape.
I'm sitting next to the Manischewitz and actually drinking a Cabernet Sauvignon.
So am I. I'm drinking Cabernet as well.
Me too. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Happy Passover.
Cheers.
Happy Passover.
So we just had our Seder. We had some dessert, and we're winding down here.
This was a real nice Seder. I'm really glad I came.
The squawks were flying off of Kevin's knife and fork.
They were. I was going for it.
And he actually had it stripped down to get...
I did. I actually took off my outer layer. Ate my undershirt, because that's what you do.
Let's do delicious. What have you seen this week?
What have you seen this week?
Dad, what have you seen lately?
Springsteen or Broadway.
Oh, yeah. Talk about it.
In which I was in the second row.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Go on.
And it was very enlightening, even though I've seen him for the last 40 years, and I could tell him his stories.
How many times have you seen Springsteen, do you think?
About 130.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
I've seen him in Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, New York. I drove up to Albany and back in one night.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a little story. I was on trial.
Okay. He's a lawyer. Everyone.
You were on trial.
That's correct. And I was picking.
We're live from Rikers.
On the gate. Anyway. So I had tickets two nights in a row in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And one night I went with Mom, and one night I went with Erica. So I told the judge, I got to be out of here by 4 o'clock. I was out by 4 o'clock, went down, drove to the show,
mm-hmm.
came back, and the next night did the same thing.
So you went there, back, and then there, back again?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Albany by myself.
There and back again. It's Springsteen still.
And I went, matter of fact, we went, Mom and I went in Cardiff, Wales. I planned a trip around that, so I've seen him several times.
But
places.
Didn't you wait like all
Cardiff?
Day
in
You've
Wales?
Seen him in different
That's
continents.
Where they film Doctor Who.
Yes.
So didn't you wait all day in line to like get general admission, and you like stayed in like you got front row seats or something like that?
I stood up, yeah, for 4 hours.
Yeah. But you waited in line for like 12.
Yes, all day.
That's crazy.
Yes.
But you made like pen pals.
More than pen pals. We spent time at their house last summer.
Yeah.
Oh.
The people they met in line at
they
the
were just like Springsteen friends?
We made friends. We went to the show. And we got online and we met this guy, Nick, and his son. So we waited all day long. And then we went to the show. And after that, we were going to follow Springsteen. And they asked Mom and I, you want to just jump in the car? We can follow Springsteen. We didn't do it. But and then this past summer, we went and we stayed at the house in Cornwall. And we're now Springsteen pen pals.
That's amazing.
That's so fun.
That's so funny.
And that's then, way better than anything we could have said for What Have You Seen This Week.
Well, I mean, I saw Springsteen too.
But not this week.
No, but I don't think I talked about it. Did I talk about it on the podcast already?
I don't think so, actually.
Oh, yeah. Well, I won the lottery.
Well, your sister won the lottery.
Well, my mom technically won the lottery, who puts in my sister's name.
Oh.
Yeah, and my sister won, and then we got one.
Lottery hack.
Yeah.
Because she answered lotteries for me.
So what did you think, Brian?
Well, that was great.
Didn't you enjoy it as much as your dad?
But he probably enjoyed it more than me. But it was
he had better seats.
It was true. We were the last row. They were in the second row. We were in the last row. But it was 2 hours and 15 minutes with no intermission. But like he's singing the songs,
I mean,
he's telling the stories.
Though, right?
Yeah, it's essentially a concert at the Walter Theater.
That's half a Bruce concert.
Right.
Well, yeah.
I've been to the long in Philadelphia.
Really?
I've been to the longest show in North America, which was in Philadelphia.
How long was
stadium?
It?
Citizens Bank.
Oh yeah, nice.
It was like 4 hours and like 20
oh,
minutes
wow.
or something like that.
And he doesn't stop. It's not like he
and
takes
his voice
a break.
Holds up?
Oh yeah, he's the best. It's the best concert you ever go to.
Who is his vocal coach?
And the East Street Band. The best two concerts, which are really like unbelievable, seriously, is Bruce, because it's like you see this man and it's like it's unbelievable. And then the other one is Paul McCartney, who's 75.
Oh yeah,
who was 75.
I saw him in Philadelphia.
We just saw him again. I mean, we've seen him also a million times. And the man is 75 years old. He doesn't even take a drink of water.
Mm. Wow.
And his band, like, he gives his band, like, time off, but he's on stage the entire time.
Wow.
And his voice...
Well, they're rock stars. They're, no,
yeah.
They're rock stars. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah,
they're
yeah.
rock stars, but they're, like... I don't...
So is the Springsteen show that's happening on Broadway now, is, like, Max Weinberg, like, playing with
them? No, it's no. only Springsteen.
It's just him.
No, well, Patty comes out for 3 songs.
Oh, okay.
But this is the sick part of it for me, anyway. I'm there, and he changes guitars.
Oh.
And Kevin Buell has been his guitar tech for like 30-some-odd years. So he comes out. And, of course, I'm like the only one to recognize and knows it's Kevin Buell.
Right.
You're applauding for the guitar.
Right. I'm like, so then we went to go get the car. And I'm waiting. And they pull the car up. And a guy comes walking down the ramp. And it's Kevin Buell. And everybody else, nobody knows it except me.
Right.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing? Anyway, so whatever. But I tell you another sick story.
Okay.
I know we're getting off the...
That's fine.
No, I
great.
Love
this.
This
I went...
Happy Passover.
Yeah, right? I went to a benefit with a friend of mine at Bar A in Belmont. And anyway, so these two ladies walk in. And my friend's looking at me like, who is that? I go, let's see who's behind them. So it was Bruce's mother and Patty's mother. And they walked in. And like the only knucklehead that would know who they are was me.
Right.
So, of course, they
He's
came
a stan.
In. And I told my friend, that's Bruce's mother and his mother, you know. And anyway... So my friend did go over, and Bruce's mother has Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
so she's not totally, you know, obviously with it. So we went over there, and Patty's mother, it was really nice. She was taking really good care of Adele, that's Bruce's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And
actually, but, not the Adele,
Well, right. that's well, you know, we were at a show.
Oh yeah, we were at a show at Barclays Center, and Dad was my.
We were at Barclays.
And my dad's like, oh, Adele is in the front row. I was like, Erica and my sister and I were looking like, where's Adele? And like halfway through the concert, like we realized that like, oh, it was Bruce's mom.
Bruce's mom named Adele.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not like Skyfall.
Right,
Adele.
Like,
yeah.
Hello.
No, yeah.
Right. So anyway, and my Patty's mother said, look, you could take pictures, but please don't put it on the internet because they don't want like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that was.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, nice.
That's so that. Sweet.
But there was another time I was with Erica.
Mm-hmm.
Erica and I went to. We went to see the Goo Goo Dolls at.
Prudential.
Montclair.
Oh.
No, we were in Montclair.
Oh, at the.
The Wellmont.
Yeah, yeah.
And I turn around, I see this lady, and I recognize her. And the reason why I recognize her was, she's Maureen Van Zandt, and she played.
Silvio's
wife
on the Sopranos.
And then Steve comes walking in right behind her. And I said to Eric, I said, you know who walks in behind you? You're going to have to pick me up off the floor. And Bruce wasn't there, but Steve said, so I talked to Steve. That's the week I met Steve and Max in the same week.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway.
Have
Max
you met
Weinberg?
Bruce?
Yeah. He's very nice.
You know him from
Conan.
Conan,
as
yeah.
the Max Weinberg 7.
Yeah.
In the year 2000.
Well, when I went...
Oh!
That's his drummer, or was his drummer.
No, he's his drummer.
He is, right?
But let's...
Has anyone else seen anything?
We also saw... after that, we saw The Band's Visit.
Oh, right.
And the highlight of that was I saw Marlo Thomas in the audience. So now you know.
Oh, okay.
Now you know my opinion of that show.
That girl? It girl? That girl? What was she?
That girl.
That girl.
Okay.
I love That Girl.
Yeah.
And then...
I saw Children of a Lesser God, but you guys are seeing that on Thursday. So we should chat when we all see it.
Okay.
Yeah?
Cool.
I will say that I had a nice little date to myself. I got myself a double Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
And I sat alone.
You saw Pacey, a.k.a. Charlie Conway.
Oh, and I love Pacey.
Yes.
And I loved Fringe. Into it.
True. Right.
The main thing I'll say is he has a very distinctive voice.
Yeah.
If you remember from Pacey. Because, you know, when you're 16, you don't learn how to speak other than just yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first like half an hour, I was like, his voice has changed in the past.
Because he got trained?
No. It was 2 hours in. I was like, no, he's supporting and placing because he speaks the whole show because he's also translating for all of the deaf actors. Well,
you said it's like a 2.5 hour monologue, essentially.
It's pretty much a 2.5 hour monologue where occasionally someone will chime in.
Damn, that's
because
crazy.
He is having full conversations with this woman, mm-hmm. but he's translating everything she is saying.
Cool.
And so halfway through, I was like, oh no, he just is making sure he can say all of these words always.
And it
was really impressive to watch.
I got to go to Lincoln Center and friend of the show, Cameron Adams.
Yay!
Killing it in the ensemble of My Fair Lady.
Oh yeah, and you said you loved the production.
I loved it. It is a beautiful Lincoln Center production. Everything you expect from Lincoln Center with the beautiful sets.
But no boat at the beginning.
There's no boat, but there is...
an airplane?
I'm out. No boat or airplane?
The sets are incredible. It's a beautiful show. I was really impressed with everybody in the cast.
Does the hat fly off into the piazza?
No, but there are things like that
Ooh.
Come across.
Hats.
Hats, yes. People do wear those hats. They don't exactly fly, but there are hats.
Well, I saw Piazza the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, opening day at the Mets. He was
there. But yeah, it's a great production. Everyone should see it. Just definitely check this out. It's breathing new life into a really good classic musical.
Cool.
They made some really great casting choices. Everyone should check it out.
Cool.
We have upcoming tickets.
We have tickets.
Yeah, you guys are going to.
And then also, I have tickets. Near here, a little plug for the local theater.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to Paper Mill to see The Sting.
Oh, with Harry Connick Jr.
Yes.
That on stage before it was a movie, or is this the first
stage?
The first production that stage was.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, their hope is to bring it to Broadway.
Amazing.
Similar to Bandstand and... Newsies and
Bronxtale. I mean, I think they thought they were.
Oh, did Bronxtale start at Paper Mill too?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We went to see a Bronxtale at Paper Mill, and during intermission, I was looking at the playbill.
Oh, I love this.
And it just so happens, I said, holy mackerel, a guy that I know, a lawyer, was in a Bronxtale, was in he plays Big Sal or something, and actually he's on Broadway.
When Brian and I
went to see the show, we met him afterward at the stage door.
Very nice
and
guy.
He was incredibly nice, and it was so funny to talk to him and be like, yeah, I used to work with your dad as a lawyer, and then I decided to quit and to pursue my love of theater.
And I will say, all these months later after seeing Bronx Tale, like, one, it's super cool that it's still on Broadway.
It's still going strong.
Two.
Yeah, Adam
Kaplan. It's friend of the show, Adam Kaplan.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of stuff since then, and like... The fluctuation.
No other lawyers.
But the fluctuation in quality that we've seen on Broadway lately, it's been super cool to see that show, which was like good.
Yeah.
And some parts really good. Just like keep going.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something to be said for just like, that was solid.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know?
Definitely.
For sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We have some questions for you, Dad.
Yes.
What do you remember the first musical you saw on Broadway?
I know I saw Annie.
Like the original production of Annie?
Yeah. I can't remember. I mean, honestly, it was so...
Were you like 4 years old?
I was young. I don't know how old I was.
Annie was the 70s.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Okay. But what's one of the best shows you've seen? Like, what's a favorite experience of seeing a show on Broadway?
I really enjoyed Wicked.
You've heard. I had a dream about Wicked yesterday.
I'm a very tough critic. And... usually, if we go to a show or a movie, sometimes I'm afraid to voice my true opinion because it meets with negativity. And we went to see Wicked, and it was excellent. And it was, and I think Erica said, it must have been good. Daddy liked it.
What
was it that you liked about Wicked?
The music was good. The whole story, I thought was really well, you know, well done. I mean, I've seen shows on Broadway that very rarely have we've walked out of a couple of shows, I will say.
Oh.
But
You walked out of.
We walked out All Shook Up. We went to go. I know it wasn't a musical, but the drama August Osage County.
You walked out of August Osage County.
It was horrible. I was like, I'm out of here.
The play everyone loves.
The highlight of that was, I think there were two. I think there were two. And Mom, who usually yells at me and says, she walked out too. The highlight of that one was. I believe there were two intermissions. We didn't make the second intermission. During the first intermission, we saw Philip Seymour Hoffman sitting like on his step smoking a cigarette. That was the highlight of that one. Then we saw the Steve Martin.
Bright Star.
Or Meteor
Shower. No, Bright Star.
We saw Bright Star, which really had about 100 performances, I think. Wasn't. And I thought that was really well done. It was interesting, that show.
Mm-hmm.
And the highlight of that one is that
they threw a baby from a train.
No, I don't watch. I don't watch many television shows.
Okay.
But one of my I watch Blue Bloods, and there was an
starring Jay Schmidt.
That's right. I'm plugging everybody. And. There was an actor, I don't recall his name, Michael something or other, that was in the show.
He played...
Imperioli?
No.
He was on Blue Bloods. He played a detective on Blue Bloods. And he came walking... You know, one of the things, the older you get... I mean, there were things I do now that I probably wouldn't have done when I was younger, okay?
Yeah.
And one of them is that if I see a famous person... I will now go.
Michael Mulhern.
That was him.
Yeah, yeah.
If I see
he was the a man's got to do what a man's got to do.
Oh, the dad. Mm.
The dad.
No.
He threw the baby from a train.
He threw the baby.
Okay. So one of the things now is if I see somebody that I think is famous, I'll go up to them and I'll say something. Because honestly, the worst that can happen is the guy's nasty to me and says no or whatever it is. And I went up to him and I said, I saw you a Blue Bloods. You were really good. And he talked to me. Thank you very much. He was very, very, he was very nice.
That's awesome.
But anyway, that's a show. I mean, the different things appeal to different people, I guess. And mm-hmm. critics have they look at things differently than I look at them. But everybody has their own taste. And I know that shows... pulling a different audience, but anyway, so I enjoyed that show. What else did we see lately? We've seen a lot of stuff that's on. I mean, we saw Evan Hansen, we saw Waitress, we saw Beautiful. I mean, the more recent shows. What else did we saw? Time in the Conways.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife really liked that one.
It was good. No, that was I enjoyed that one. That was good. I mean, some of these shows.
You guys saw Hamilton.
We saw Hamilton in previews. We saw that a lot.
By yourself without Brian and Erica, we've been told.
Yes.
Yes. We made up for it. They're not deprived.
I remember Brian telling us, he was like, they take us to every show, and the one show they don't buy us tickets to is the one everyone wants to see.
Well, you see, Kevin, there gets to be a cutoff.
You can buy your own tickets now.
When your kids get to a certain age,
uh-huh.
okay, you get a present at Christmas or Hanukkah or your birthday, and after that, maybe you'll get something else.
Right.
Okay? I didn't ask for any money tonight to say to dinner, okay?
That's true, Brian. We ate for free tonight.
That's true. That's true.
And also, he's going on a little doggy bag, a little...
Yeah.
Little peso gift, what else did we see lately? I mean, we saw.
Did you see Hello Dolly?
We saw Hello Dolly.
We saw with Bette Midler, right?
We
saw with Bette.
With Bette.
yeah.
We saw that.
Well, did you enjoy that?
I mean, yes. And that year we saw. Years ago we saw a boy from. You know, it's also funny that.
You saw a boy from Oz.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is. You see. There are so many more roles for actors that are non-singing roles.
Mm-hmm.
So you see people, and you really don't realize that they can sing. Yeah. Because there's more, I guess, there's more jobs for people that don't sing. So we saw a boy from Oz, Hugh Jackman. I didn't know if he could sing. You know,
and he's wonderful.
He's excellent. No, he was excellent. I mean, we saw the producers with the original with Matthew Broderick and Nathan Lane. We saw it's funny, we were talking about Gregory Jabara. And I think it was November. There was a show that we saw with Nathan Lane. It wasn't on very long. It was about
Front Page.
No, it was about the pardoning of the turkeys.
Oh, the November something. Yeah, November Man.
Oh, November Man.
Nathan Lane. Was that November? I believe Nathan Lane played the president, and Gregory Jabara was in that.
I think Laurie Metcalf was in that too.
Yes, wow. She was in that also.
Yeah,
and I tell you, it's funny. It's August Osage County. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't really care for the show. But the funny thing is that Mom and I used to like Mike and Molly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the woman that played Mike's mother. You know, there were people that are on even television shows that are excellent actors and actresses, just that they don't get the notoriety of other people. And the actress that played Mike's mom is an excellent actress. Mm-hmm. And she was odd. She was in... I saved the playbills.
Right.
And we saw her in August Osage.
Oh, wow.
But it's funny. I mean, because of you, there were all these different things that I didn't even know existed, like black box theaters and things like that.
I
learned about really through you.
You paid for college, so thank you.
But it's like you know, so many things are commercialized.
Mm-hmm.
And just because they're commercialized, it doesn't mean that they're good.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, everybody's opinion is worthwhile.
Do you remember taking me to my first musical, Peter Pan?
Yes. And I remember having the radio on my ear because the Giants were in the playoff game that day.
Did you know that?
I think I did. Oh, okay. Because
I was like, that would be an amazing thing to discover now on the podcast.
Yeah, I know, right?
So you're taking your kid for the exposure.
That's funny because even now, if I'm a Florida, my father, after all these years, I tell him something. I go, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Dad, when I was 17, you weren't supposed to know that.
So let's.
That's true. There's going to be a lot of revelations when we get older with our parents. Yeah.
Kimberly, let's play a game.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I have an intro.
Oh, an intro.
In the television entertainment system, specialty guest star roles are considered especially important. In New York City, the dedicated actors who specialize in creating these vicious roles are members of an elite squad known as the Special Broadway Unit. These are their stories.
All right. You need a couple of doink doinks.
Yeah, doink doink. Doink doink.
That was all of your cues for bum bum
bum bum bum bum bum bum bum
bum bum bum bum bum bum bum.
You like the show, right? Do you like Law and Order?
No.
Here we go.
No?
SVU.
I have a very hard time watching legal shows.
Because you know what they're doing.
Because they're so off base. It's like unbelievable.
Yeah.
But you've seen all of them.
No, I haven't. I mean, I stopped watching SVU a long time ago. The only... I'm sorry, I'm cutting into your time.
No.
The only law show I still watch is Blue Bloods. And the only reason that is because of the family theme in it, the weekly dinner, whatever. If not, it's just the same stupid cop show with...
That's true.
It's where, you know, if you're in the profession... Everything you try to do, not to show, favoritism or improprieties and stuff. So you have the cop that gets in trouble, and who's investigating? His sister, the DA. You think there's a little bit of a conflict there?
Right.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff just bothers me. And then it just gives the public the wrong impression of what lawyers, judges, prosecutors.
Well, I would agree with that.
I just can't. And then
how we all think Smash gave the wrong impression
about
of what
Broadway is.
Well, it's like if I'm watching, like when I used to watch SVU, and I start yelling at the TV, okay, and Mom would yell at me, and then there'd be another show where there'd be something about a teacher, and she'd start yelling at the TV.
And you're like, see what I think?
You see?
License is taken.
Somebody gets locked up, and you know. And then, like, the next day they get served with a motion, which is improper in New York because there's no jurisdiction until there's an indictment. I'm sorry, I'm giving a whole name. And then it's like they go to trial a week later. It's like, I mean, right, anyway. Right. Just,
because they follow a case through the whole thing. So like an episode is a year and a half.
Then the DAs have like one case in TV. And it's like, you know, you have like 100 of them. Whatever.
No, they definitely make it seem like the DA's office is like, we're all working on this one thing right now.
And they go to Rikers Island and they talk to the defendant without the defendant's lawyer being present.
Always.
Which is like a very big no-no, okay? And then they'll have one lawyer representing like three defendants. Uh-huh. And you can't do that. That's a conflict. So I just have trouble with all of that. And so.
Yeah.
Okay, following
yep.
are descriptions of such guest star roles. Please pair the role with the actor. So I've just dealt you each five actors, Broadway actors, that have been on an episode of SVU.
Okay.
I'm going to read a brief description of some characters, and then you tell me who played them. Okay. A recurring role as Maria Grazzi, the estranged wife of Detective Nick Amaro. After returning home from a tour in Iraq, their marriage deteriorates, and she eventually moves to Washington, D.C. with their young daughter.
I mean, I have it.
Yes, yeah, so say it out loud and put
it's
it
Laura
in.
Laura Benanti.
It is Laura Benanti. Recurring role as Dr. Rebecca Hendricks, a Bellevue psychiatrist who frequently butts heads with Benson. In her last appearance in season 8, she completes a psychiatric evaluation of Benson and Stabler, determining they have an unhealthy emotional dependence on each other.
Mary Stuart Masterson.
That is correct.
Yes!
But that's when I still watched it. I told you.
Attorney Felicity Bradshaw in the fight over whether a pregnant woman who drinks alcohol should be locked up for the baby's safety.
Can I give you
another hint. Yes. Yeah. She was most recently seen on Broadway in the 2001 revival of 42nd Street, and she was Laurie in the film version of Oklahoma.
Shirley Jones.
There she is. Yep.
Shirley Jones.
Oh, yeah.
In a crossover episode of Law & Order, Detective Lenny Briscoe and the SVU team up to work on the case of a teenage model who eventually dies after being raped and beaten.
Who do we need? Lenny Briscoe?
Yes, Lenny Briscoe.
Jerry Orbach?
Correct.
Lumiere?
Jay?
46th Street?
Jay has a clue.
Jay, you have a clue?
Jay?
Oh, never mind.
Jay's
come
in the
when
background.
You're ready.
Yeah, we'll wait. It's like that Golden Globes.
Yeah, that's
when
so
what was it? Who was it? Christine Lottie was in the bathroom.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you have a clue?
Yeah.
Why did you say to him to the microphone?
That's funny. I didn't know he had a clue.
Wait, Shelby's dead?
Jeremy Jordan. I have it.
Okay. A recurring
role.
Did
you watch the Jeremy episode?
I had to because I knew Jeremy
right.
was on it.
A recurring role as Dr. Amy Solway, an in vitro fertilization specialist who kills a depressed woman wishing to commit suicide. She becomes friends with Detective Munch, who shares her views on assisted suicide.
Is that Marley Matlin?
That is correct.
Yes.
The Oscar winner for...
Speaking of children, of lesser God.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. A three-episode actor.
Ooh, an arc.
She played a defense attorney named Ruth Miller in Homesick, Season 6, Episode 22, and Navy Blues, Season 8, Episode 3. In 2015, she appeared on a Law & Order Special Victims Unit episode entitled Agent Provocateur. She played Lydia Labasi, manager to an up-and-coming star who has been charged with sexually assaulting an underage girl.
Wait, what's the character? She plays multiple characters?
Lydia Labasi is the SVU episode. The rest were just regular Law & Order, I think.
Is this a older Broadway actress?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Patti LuPone?
It is Patti LuPone.
Yeah, and that's Jeremy's second episode.
Wait, is it? I saw her in Gypsy.
With the boot.
That was so good.
Did you see her with the isotoners?
Yeah, she was in the boot.
Oh, I did.
The purple isotoners?
Yeah.
We also saw her do her one-woman show.
Oh, with Manny Patinkin?
No.
That wouldn't be one woman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very cultured. You didn't know.
You're very cultured.
I just don't go to Met Gala.
How did you create Brian?
That was his mom.
Okay. All right, Kimberly, what you got?
Who do you think used to drive him to Gifted and Talented Music?
Me. Uh-huh. You?
You went to Gifted and Talented Music?
They let anyone in.
Trumpet players with cute green outfits?
Yeah.
A recurring role as a medical examiner, Carl Rudnick. He used his position to cover up and frame others for his crimes. He's eventually discovered to be a cross-dressing serial killer.
Jefferson Mays?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Thank you.
That was Jefferson Mays.
I told you.
Again, a gentleman's guide to, or gentlewoman's guide to love and murder.
I think he...
Oh, I saw I Take remember. Me Out with the
showering scene.
On this. I saw that.
And you saw Lombardi?
Oh, my parents took their very conservative neighbors to see that.
Oh, my.
I saw Lombardi.
Uh-huh.
Was there a shower scene in Lombardi?
I saw that. The other one.
no, Kevin.
The Something House that was also at Circle in the theater. The,
oh, Fun Home.
I saw that.
Something House?
In the Circle in the theater.
I love that title. Something House.
Fun Home.
Okay. The character's name is Elizabeth Donnelly. She first appears on the show as a DA.
Yes.
You're right. It is Judith Light.
I saw her. We saw her. I want...
Was she in Lombardi when you saw
her? No, no, no. We saw her in Lombardi, and she was in another show. It was a drama.
What, Mom, do you know what it was?
Who?
Judith Light.
We've seen her a couple of times.
It was so good. It was when the family came. Not something with dinner.
Something with dinner.
A long Christmas dinner?
Dinner at 8? No.
No. They had an apartment on the Upper West Side.
Oh, such a good show. She wanted a Tony for it. I'm positive.
I saw her in Other Desert City.
Was it Other Desert City?
No.
The Assembled Parties?
That's
yes,
it.
That
was
okay.
it. That was
but
it.
But it was at a dinner. That's why I thought.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Makes sense. Okay.
She's so good.
She's so good.
And it's so funny that like most of us know her as that who's the boss
Angela?
Person.
Angela.
But like the fact that she's like had this illustrious
the
career.
Who's the boss
and she's
person.
And she's incredible in...
Was she, is she the boss? Is she not?
No, like, you know what? She was really good also. She was
Paris
Ryland's mother on the remake of Dallas.
She
was really good in that as well. Yeah,
she's also great on Transparent.
Oh, is she?
Oh,
Transparent?
Yeah, yeah, she's
on
Transparent.
She's the Jeffrey Tambor's ex-wife.
Yes.
Okay.
Character, so good. Anyway,
ready?
Yes.
Emmy nominated for her role as Bertie Sulloway, an aging dancer who glories in her past stardom. She, along with her nephew, comes under suspicion of the death of her husband and three other neighbors.
Is it Carol Burnett?
It is yeah. Carol Burnett.
Yes!
Okay, I'll do one more.
Yeah.
Okay. What's
and whoever has the least number of slips left wins. Because we each have two.
Sure.
Doink, doink.
I'm just making sure it's on the right one.
Dun, dun.
Oh, so this person is in two different seasons as two different people.
Okay.
In season 11, he is Jan Eich in Beef. And in season 13, he is Steve Harris, a former basketball player who claims he was sexually assaulted by his... Yep,
it's Aaron Tveit. I have it. Yeah.
Brian wins.
I just want to shout out both Ithacans.
Ithaca alums. Cool.
That was fun.
I guess before we wrap it up here, I think we need to take a trip to Kevin's corner.
Won?
I won.
Brian won.
Because you had the least?
Yes. Yeah, we just made it up last
when
minute.
Was it golf?
All right, Mr.
We
Plopsky.
We all won fun.
You are now entering Kevin's corner, where I have three very highly detailed questions for you to answer. Do you think you can do this?
It depends upon what they're about.
All right, here we go. Your wife, Jill, shares a name with the maiden whose sad destiny led her up a hill after a boy named Jack. Jack, of course, is a pivotal character in the Sondheim musical Into the Woods, with an unusual attachment to cows. Cows, of course, say moo, which is, on the grand spectrum of animal noises, a pretty normal sound to make. So my question is, what animal do you think makes the strangest sound, and why?
That's a weird one.
That is a very strange question. Something to think about you now. I mean, you know what makes a strange sound?
What?
A camel. They do make a sound. Like, they go, ah, or something like that.
What is it like?
It goes, ah. I've heard that.
Amazing.
That's a good answer. Campbell's a good answer. Okay, question two. You ready?
Yes.
You've done a lot of impressive things in your life, one of which is fathering host of the show, Brian Plofsky. Brian is well known for his love of movies, Marvel, and puns. Puns are considered by most people in this culture as the highest form of comedy.
What?
Some people think puns are really a high form of comedy. For a long time, puns were like the best way to show you were intelligent was to make
that's
a
true.
Pun.
That's very, in what's it called? In, anyway, keep going, sorry.
In Kevin's corner.
Brian's like, yes, I'm smart.
Okay.
I always want to be on Kindness Corner, but.
So my question is, who is your favorite comedian or favorite comedy movie of all time and why?
My favorite comedy movie of all time. is Big Daddy.
Really?
That is not what I expected.
I love that movie.
But I can wipe my own ass.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't count because you can't weed.
That movie's so good.
We got our first timer out here. I think Pat throws his Rolex in.
I love that.
Kangaroo song.
Kangaroo song.
Scuba Steve.
That is such a good movie. You know what? That would actually make a really interesting musical. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
There'd be a whole Hooters dance number.
My favorite part is, my son's a moron.
What, and they're like, okay, well, let it happen.
Your Aunt Faye came up from Florida. I asked you to take her around. What did you do? I went to a Judas Priest concert and I fell asleep, got drunk and fell asleep or something like that.
That would be, I actually would be okay with that being.
But you know
musical.
What it would be? It would be a Styx jukebox musical.
Styx.
Oh,
yes. 100%.
Yeah,
that's true. That's a very underrated band. What was, okay, now what was the question?
No, you answered
my favorite movie.
Yep, your favorite comedy movie. And your favorite comedian.
I guess there's a lot of old-time comedians. And it's like, every once in a while, I still listen to George Carlin.
Mm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hysterical. Richard Pryor.
So good.
Hysterical, okay? David Brenner. I mean, a lot of these guys that used to be on the old Tonight Show.
Uh-huh.
Hysterical. I mean.
Well, you showed us tonight your ticket from going to see Don Rickles.
Yes, I saw Don Rickles in 1974.
For $8.50.
You know, really? I mean, the newer comics, I mean, I don't really know a lot of the newer comics. I mean, I tell you, what I did watch the last couple of nights on HBO, mm-hmm. Judd Apatow, am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yeah.
Did this, The Zen of Gary Shandling.
Oh, I need to watch that.
It's very well done.
It's so good.
That was very well done. That was funny.
Okay.
All right, third question.
All right, I have one more question for you. Your other child besides Brian is named Erica, just like the famous singer Erica Badu. The song Sorry Miss Jackson.
Her namesake, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
The song Sorry Miss Jackson by Andre 3000
also like Outkast.
Thank you. Is about about him apologizing to Erica Badu's mother for their tumultuous relationship. One of the most famous tumultuous relationships in musicals has returned to Broadway in the revival of Carousel. Carousel is set where clams and lobsters are totes popular and would probably be someone's last meal on death row. What would be your favorite meal that you could have on death row and why?
Oh, there's no question about it.
Oh, you already have it.
Pizza and ice cream.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
what kind of pizza and what kind of ice cream?
Just a regular pizza.
Like, what would be on it?
Nothing.
Just cheese?
I like straight pizza.
Just cheese and
Just cheese.
There's nothing better than just like a plain New York pizza.
And just vanilla ice cream. That would be it. That's
cheese, simple. Pizza, and vanilla ice cream.
Simple, yeah. But that's just
a good choice.
Just to the point.
The kitchen at the prison
pizza,
would be very
pint?
Happy.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Sorry?
A whole pizza, a whole pint?
Yeah, that.
Or a slice
of ice cream. If you're gonna die, why not? Like,
right, no, but
yeah,
but
make
it's just
it a
like
mess for
just like pizza. That's not my favorite food.
Amazing.
And that would be very simple.
I would say that you successfully made your way through Kevin's Corner. Good job.
Thank you.
Welcome out of the corner.
What do I get? $50? Or
we leave your home now.
you can get rid of us. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, that ends this segment of the podcast.
Yep, until Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, which we'll
Jesus
go into.
Wait, I thought I was a superstar.
You are a superstar.
All right, so let's get that straight. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
Yes, thank you for having us for the Seder dinner.
Very welcome.
Next time you hear us, we'll have just watched Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
So happy Passover to everyone. The next time you hear us in this episode, will be happy Easter.
Yeah. We're just trying to split the difference. I mean, the Last Supper was
weekend.
Passover.
That's true,
right?
Yeah. That's why true. Easter and Passover always fall like around each other. Because.
So we will say thank you for coming to the show, but also thank you for fathering host of the show, Brian Plofsky.
Oh, yeah.
The show wouldn't be the same without him.
That's true.
True. It'd be a very different show.
Yeah, probably wouldn't exist.
Yeah, probably not.
Bye.
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 See you in a second.
Doink, doink.
To get worried, try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Well, don't you know everything's alright? Yes,
And we're back. But without a Kevin.
Yep. And a Steve.
And a Steve.
It's just Brian and Kimberly.
Just Brian and Kimberly. We just watched Jesus Christ Superstar. Happy Live. Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter. We ate candy.
We did.
We watched Jesus.
We did. And Judas.
And Judas.
And Mary. And Glitter.
And Simon. And Peter.
And Alvin. And Theodore. what'd you think?
That was wonderful.
I think it was the best live one.
I think they nailed it. And yeah. I think I have reasons why. Right. I don't know. Just like thinking about it. Because it's been over. We sat in silence for the last like 10 minutes.
Yeah, we just watched it.
If you haven't, it's Tuesday morning. If you haven't watched it yet, just like fast forward. I mean, don't fast forward or anything because it's beautiful. But like, we're going to talk about the end for a minute.
Yeah, go for it.
I think they nailed it in that they had this huge space. So like all these other live shows have had these huge warehouse spaces.
Right.
And so they're like, oh, well, let's build like this set here, this set here, this set here. And this show is like, nope, the audience is going to sit like almost like an arena.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one set and it'll be everything. And then at the very end, it's so powerful because everything opens up and you just see the crucifix gliding to the back in that last
moment. And being backlit.
And you just remember what a huge space they're in, mm-hmm. which then becomes like, oh, like the world is huge. And like, it just made it a lot more meaningful.
It was
awesome. But they definitely nailed it. And just like, you don't, if you have a warehouse, you don't need to use it all.
Yeah, and I also love the scaffolding aspect of it.
Oh yeah, and the band,
because that's what I mean. Essentially,
was everywhere, and they're in the ruined temple, and
the idea that, well, obviously it symbolizes like the rebuilding of the temple and things of that nature, but also, you know, if you go to these cities now, which mm-hmm. I've been, so much of it is under construction to just like keep it up.
Oh, interesting.
So it's this like juxtaposition of like the actual old world and then the new world.
And how you're keeping the new world, how you're using technology from the new world to keep what the remnants of the old world intact.
Yes.
And that can be, there are so many layers now.
How would you rank this against other live shows?
I mean, I feel like Grease might still hold the bar as far as like a huge, 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 huge spectacle.
Right.
It like changed the game because they were like, hey, what if there's an audience here?
Right.
Because that really helped, especially with this. Because you could tell they told the audience to like, don't hold back.
Right. And it was cool because it's just a perfect...
And you could see them a lot.
Yeah, and it's a perfect type of show for this because it is a concept and because it is they made it that you don't need multiple sets. And it's just like...
Yeah, which a lot of Jesus, like, I didn't see the most recent revival, but the national tour with Sebastian Bach
mm-hmm.
was also pretty similar.
Yeah, yeah.
If I recall from when I was 12 years old.
Yeah, and it was, I mean.
It was so good.
And John Legend was great. She was great. Sarah Bareilles. But Brennan Victor Dixon stole that.
Oh, my God. When he came out in those silver pants, I was just like, woohoo. I didn't know this was the resurrection we needed today.
He just sounded great. There was so much energy. That ensemble was killer.
Yes. And I forget, although it is a rock opera, I forget how much of like an opera it is, that like some characters just sort of come in and have their aria moment,
Basically all of Mary Magdalene's, what
yeah,
she does
and Peter
that.
And Simon.
That's true.
They're not necessarily like, I mean, they drive the plot, obviously, but they are all just like, oh, right, and then Peter gets a solo, and then Simon gets a solo, but, like,
and
they
then King,
it.
And then King Herod gets a solo.
And then David has pumpkins.
Which doesn't, that song's so weird, because it, like, it doesn't fit into the rest of the score,
mm-hmm.
but, like, what you said during it, like, is it supposed to be symbolizing the fact that he's out of touch with everything else, or
yeah,
that, like,
if you think about, like, being 22 in the 70s and you're writing all this rock music and you want to make like an out of touch king, and in a musical world, you're like, well, let's write him a like an 11 o'clock number from the 40s.
Yeah.
Where like that's where his point of reference would have stopped when he
potentially
became king.
Or he was like, this sounds good.
Yeah.
In
or
it goes.
He was just like, I wrote this song once when I was drunk.
But that was an A+. That was a good way to spend Easter.
Oh, yeah.
That was really good.
Is this your first Easter celebration, Brian?
I mean, yes.
I don't know that it was necessarily.
I mean, it was really a celebration. I mean, we had chocolate. I've never seen Jesus Christ Superstar before. Like, and I know the albums, but I've never,
seen a production.
I've seen the movie, I guess, when I was younger, but, like, I've never actually seen a production of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you picked a good one to start with.
I know, right?
But it's not quite an Easter movie because they don't do the resurrection. They end with him crucified.
Right. What other holidays do you think should have shows? What musicals could match up with other holidays?
Sure. Well, like White Christmas matches White Christmas.
Right.
Not a musical, but I will say that The Cherry Orchard for Arbor Day, perhaps.
Or a hundred.
Oh, I broke my husband.
100 degrees. What is it?
110 in the shade. For the first day of summer.
Yeah.
Summer solstice.
Yeah, summer solstice. Yeah. I mean, you could do A Winter's Tale.
Totally, for winter solstice. Or for just like something else.
Yeah. I mean, like there are the easy ones like Fiddler on the Roof of Rosh Hashanah or something like that.
Yeah. St. Joan for All Saints Day.
Of course.
A little night music for, I don't know why I in my mind just associated Flag Day with Sweden.
That's weird. I don't know.
There is a Swedish holiday that I'm thinking of, but I just don't remember what it is. I just have Jesus Christ Superstar stuck in my head. I know. I can't think of anything else.
I'm so loopy right now.
Well, we have Groundhog Day.
Right.
I mean, we have Hamilton for President's Day.
Right. 1776 for President's Day.
Yep.
Or just July alternate. 4th.
And the Assassin soundtrack, and you just put them all in one playlist and hit shuffle, and that's your President's Day shuffle.
That's a... You're really shuffling along there.
I mean, Les Mis for Bastille Day, even though
it's not Bastille Day,
the same revolution, but you know, the spirit of the revolution is there.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you could Dr. Zhivago for Russian Revolution Celebration Day. I don't know if that's a thing.
I'm trying to think of like what's a Thanksgiving musical? Just Company for Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Because you have company over?
Yeah, I guess.
So we need to shop for Thanksgiving?
For pies.
Because you need pies. Waitress.
Oh, Waitress, right.
Waitress and Sweeney Todd, again, on a mega mixed
No, Waitress for Pie Day. Yes. March 14th.
That's not a real thing.
For mathematicians, it is. And high school math classes.
Oh, Les Mis can be Flag Day, too, just because of the waving.
Oh,
aspect.
I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, Memorial Day could be...
Well, it's parade. It takes place on Memorial Day.
Oh, that's true.
Happy Memorial Day, Mr. Frank.
Oh, I mean, Veterans Day would be like South Pacific. Ragtime for Labor Day. Newsies for
Labor Day.
Yeah. Independence Day.
The musical?
Yeah, it would be for Earth Day because they wanted the resources.
Is there an Independence Day musical?
No, but
they could be. Are you writing it?
Now I am.
Ooh, just so, wasted exclusive.
Just so it could air on Earth Day. Welcome to Earth Day.
And first then of all, it should be a Mars Attacks musical before.
I mean,
Independence Day musical.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
They'll be on NASA Appreciation Day.
NASA Appreciation Day?
Yes.
Ooh, what's like a Mother's Day musical? Gypsy?
Waitress? Mamma Mia?
Oh, yes. Oh, speaking
and
of...
And Father's Day?
Jesus Christ Superstar. A Mamma Mia preview came on.
Oh, yeah.
And Brian just goes, I don't care what anyone says. I'm so excited.
Fun
and
home.
I hadn't said anything.
Fun home for Father's Day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, or Ragtime again. Sweeney Live would be really cool.
Yeah.
And I think what really worked with Jesus Christ Superstar being a rock opera and totally sung through... is they didn't, it's really the book scenes where the live shows can drag.
Yes.
And because it was sung through, it was a concert the whole time.
I mean, at some point they're going to do
live Hamilton?
Les Mis,
oh, Les Mis.
Maybe.
But that is overexposed too.
Yeah, I know, I agree.
You guys are going to laugh at me. I would watch the hell out of... A Live Footloose, the musical.
Live Footloose would be actually kind of cool.
And you can do Footloose, like, pared down a little.
Yeah.
On, like, one set like that. I don't know. Now that I'm watching that, I'm like, that really worked. I thought he was going to say, you're in town.
I think live, yeah, I was thinking that too. Live, you're in town could be good. Anyway, I think that brings us to the end of this episode.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin's watching right now, yeah. So, like, no spoilers.
Okay, sure. It's going to take him 3 days. So
yeah, he has to go into a cave.
Yeah.
Close the door.
Yeah.
And then
rise again. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Broadwasted. Mm-hmm. Rate and review us and subscribe on iTunes.
Five stars, please.
And as we end every episode, we end with a quote. And today's quote is.
Ooh, he doesn't have it in front of him.
I don't.
Wow.
Let my babies go. It's from Rugrats Passover.
I hope everyone had a good holiday weekend.
Yes, we hope you had a great holiday weekend. Thanks, everybody. As we end every episode,
Zoo-doo-wah-bum. Oh, thanks, Jay.
Cheers.
Bye.
Cool. Oh my God, I'm so tired.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.